Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. Later on in the show, Shaq will be here to reflect on Chelsea booking a place in this year's Champions League semi-final. But we start by welcoming in Jurgen Klinsmann and Julien Laurent. Jules trying to suppress us. Oh, there it is. There's the smile that you know he's so desperate to express as PSG are through to the last four of the Champions League. What a game it was in Paris. Bayern Munich actually winning it by 1-0. Choupo-Moting's strike, the only goal of the game, 3-3 on aggregate. PSG then advancing the away goal rule. But you take a look at the stats and you look at that and it doesn't even tell half the tale, does it, Jules? This was an extraordinary match that really PSG should have wrapped up much earlier. From a neutral's point of view, it was tense, edge of the seat stuff. From a PSG fan, which of course you are, this must have been a nightmare.
I couldn't watch it. Don't ask me what happened in the last 15 minutes. I absolutely could not watch. I emptied the dishwasher. I put a wash on. I tidied my pajamas. Literally everything I could find in the house, I did not to be able, because I just could not watch it. I just think, like you said, there was a point in at the end of the first half, just when Choupo-Moting scored, that I thought all those chances missed. The bar from Neymar, the post from Neymar, Mbappe living his life offside tonight. Literally living his life, spending his game offside tonight. I was like, this is not our night, and it will happen again. And once again, Bayern will score in the 92nd minute, and they're going to go through 2-0 on away goals, and this is going to 2-0, sorry, and that's going to be enough for them. And I never thought that PSG could actually battle the way they did, show that team spirit, that unity to be able to go through the way they did. It was incredible.
So what we question, Craig, isn't it, over the years with PSG, that kind of team spirit, they're able to grind out result as they did today?
Yeah, well, I can tell Julien when he was emptying the dishwasher and folding his pyjamas, the ball was going to Leroy Sané and he wasn't doing a great deal with it, but we'll get to him later on. The only thing that surprised me in this game tonight, watching it, was the fact that PSG didn't win it. Didn't win the actual game.
Sure.
Yes, Bayern had a little bit more possession. Yeah, they got around the edge of the PSG box on quite a few occasions, particularly in the second half as they pushed. But I just felt that Paris Saint-Germain were an even bigger threat going forward than they were in Munich. And that sounds surprising because they scored 3 goals in Munich. But that was bad defending. That was, you know, Sula coming out with his head down for a Neymar cross back in that Marquinhos scored. They looked a real threat at times tonight. And as Julien said, they missed chance after chance after chance. That's always going to put you under pressure. But ultimately, I think both teams had players out, key players. But I think for Bayern, those key players were more prevalent than PSG in the end. We can talk about Lewandowski's goals, of course. Serge Gnabry as well. His industry, his energy, allied to Lewandowski, of course, was just too big a miss for them. Choupo-Moting got a goal in each game. Mm. You know, there's not, you can't criticise that.
Sure.
But when you take that threat of Lewandowski out, when you take that industry of Gnabry out, and I mentioned Leroy Sané, final third, both games, just awful. Just absolutely awful in the final third. Whether he's coming in on his left foot for quite a simple strike from, what, 16 yards, 14 yards, and he scuffs it, he gets no purchase on it, and then there was many others, but right at the end, he has the ball, takes it under control, deep with into the penalty box, has no pressure whatsoever to pick a pass out across, scuffs it into Keylor Navas's hands. That sort of summed him up over the 180 minutes, but in the end, it summed Bayern up. Lots of possession, particularly in the first game, just didn't do enough with it.
Jurgen, we'll talk about Bayern a little bit later on. Let's focus first, shall we, on PSG, criticised in the past for not having the character, not being able to get it done in big matches. This is a side now who've knocked out Barcelona and Bayern Munich.
Yeah, and you got to give them a huge compliment. I think, you know, over the stretch of both games, you know, they did really well. I mean, they had more hunger. They were more determined, especially today, to grind it out. They had the clearer chances today. I think Neymar, you know, should have had at least one goal there. So they were more clinical. Bayern was missing, as Greg said, rightfully. They missed the last piece in it, the last in the final third, to get more determined, to get more clearer chances, and to finish things off. You know, I think Bayern over the stretch of the two games, probably they lost it in the first game. They didn't finish things up in the first match, and they got punished for it today. And obviously, you could clearly see that to sap Robert Lewandowski is just simply impossible. Even if Choupo-Moting scored in both games, but his presence, his charisma that he has on the field is just so valuable for Bayern Munich that they couldn't deal without him. So overall, I think PSG really deserves it to go through. It showed why the Champions League is really the best product of football in the world. Mm. Because this level of a game that we saw today is just something that all national team coaches are watching these type of games and want to see what are the newest trends, what is the difference in these games. And they take kind of the information that they gain on those type of events like today into the European Championship or the Copa America and try to implement whatever they see in these type of games. So Champions League on that level is just something very, very special.
I actually thought Bayern would go through, and I said that last week, and I'll tell you why. One, they're the reigning champions up until tonight, but two, and this is a credit PSG, the reason I thought Bayern was going to go through, because we didn't know if Marquinhos was going to be back, and he wasn't. Danilo goes back as he did in the first leg and played centre-half. He played 90 minutes there. We know Dagba's not first choice. They had Diallo go off in both games. Yep. Bakker come on in both games. And yet, that defence that has, not these particular individuals, but this team's defence that has crumbled so often in previous years, not last year, but in previous years, under the Kosh, was a second and third string defence at best, albeit no Lewandowski, was still able to cope. And I think that's, you know, from Pochettino's point of view, he's not been there that long. But that's credit PSG.
Yeah.
It wasn't just tonight, the Mbappe and Neymar. These guys actually did a really good job when you really felt before the game, this could be the weak point of PSG. But actually it wasn't.
Jules, people like to throw stones at PSG. Oh, they just win the Farmers League. That's nothing special. They made it through to the final last year. But who did they really have to beat? Considering what they've done in these last two legs against the defending champions, who we all described as the best team in the world just last year, and you're knocking out Barcelona as well in these knockout stages, you're silencing a lot of those critics.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's the way you've done it as well. You were brilliant in the first leg, collectively, in that first leg in Barcelona, but especially Kylian Mbappe, of course, with the hat-trick. Then you had to fight really hard. It was tense. You struggled at times in the second leg at home. You relied on Keylor Navas. Those are your two huge players so far this season, with Neymar, but Neymar has been injured. And you managed to go through. Away in Munich, who they never lose at home in the Champions League, or they haven't lost for more than 2 years. You go there. Kylian Mbappe is again on fire. And again, that team spirit is there. You fight hard, you get that win. And then the second leg, again, similar. You struggle a bit, but you show that character. You show that personality that, you're right, was not there before. But I think they learned the lesson from past disappointments. Manchester United, Barcelona, last season, the final, of course. And I think that's the big difference. And I think people will take seriously. I think they were taken seriously before. But certainly it was like, okay, now it seems that they've gone to another level where they had great individuals before, and with Neymar and Mbappe, they maybe have two of the five best or two of the 10 best in the world, easy. But now also what they have behind is that experience of the disappointment that you had before. Psychologically, to have almost got that revenge of all the things that happened before, the final against Bayern, the remontada against Barcelona, those kind of games. And on top of that, you've got that team spirit, you've got that mental strength, you've got that collective unity and strength that you need to win a competition like this. And they might not win it this season again, but at least they're showing that. And I think just for that, we can say that they've gone to the next level.
I don't think there's many people out there call it the Farmers League. Do you know, I've not heard any pundits with that kind of talk. I mean, there may be people that disrespect it, but I think that's a terminology that arrives from certain platforms.
Sure.
You know,
But I always feel that PSG have to work harder than others to win.
Well, I think that's a consequence of, not this year, and Monaco have won it before as well, but obviously they're chasing Lille this year. But I think it's a consequence of a perception sometimes of winning a league as often and sometimes as clear as they have. Let's be frank, in the Bundesliga they've got that issue as well. Now, Leipzig have closed the gap slightly over the weekend, but the games are running out. So, yeah, there is that perception. I just think when people get upset about Farmers League, I think we can all agree and disagree on the strengths and weaknesses of certain leagues, but I really don't think I've heard any pundits call it the Farmers League. But anyway, that's by the by. Lyon did a great job last year. PSG, for the second year in a row, look as if they could go all the way. The one thing that... I don't know if there's a change in mentality there, whereas it was before. We've got Mbappe, Neymar, Di Maria, et al. So we're just going to play our way and we're going to attack, right? And we're going to utilise these guys and we're going to blow teams away. I think certainly in Europe, they're utilising them in a more sensible and a more constructive way. And by that, by what I mean by that is, they're playing with more structure.
Yeah.
And then allowing, from a defensive aspect of the game, not quite Mourinho-esque at Tottenham, you know, but from a good defensive structure, then allowing these guys to go and pounce, rather than just say, right, we're playing an open game, 11v11, we've got better players in the attacking area, attacking front, third, so we're going to beat you. That's not always worked for them, particularly at this stage of the competition, elite level football. And I do think there's been a slight mentality change over the last 12 or 18 months.
Jurgen, obviously Neymar hitting the post twice, was inches away as well from scoring. That opportunity where he hit the crossbar, where he just did everything right, it was almost in slow motion. It was that brilliant, almost like playing FIFA in the video game. When he's at that, he is one of the world's best, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just simply a difference maker. And these type of movements, you know, from a player like him is just so enjoyable for us to watch. And when he executes it and you just wish him then that the ball really kind of hits the bar and goes into the back of the net, you know. So but he creates those chances himself, similar to Mbappe in the first leg. You know, he's there and finishing things off. You know, they can make 40, 50 yards runs at defenders and fooling one or two and then finishing things off. So that's rightfully so that Julian said that they are within the top 10 in the world as forwards and they can always make a difference in a split second. But for us, coming from the outside, looking at it, you know, seeing kind of those actions like today from Neymar, it's just very, very enjoyable.
Jules mentioned Mbappe living offside, just on the shoulder of that last defender every time. But when he's in full flight, he is special.
Yeah, and that's why they are just special players that you need to figure out as a manager. You need to figure out a way then to make them part of the entire kind of group, the entire team. And what they did today was really interesting to watch. They were helping out defensively. They were very, very disciplined. Neymar didn't lose 1 second on any kind of emotional issues, not with the referee, not with an opponent. They're chasing him all the time. It's the same with Mbappe. Today, both of them were enormously disciplined, and that makes a difference. And then when they put themselves in kind of hardworking at the disposal of the team, then this PSG will be a very, very difficult team to beat. You know, that if they play like today as an entire group, they have all the capabilities to win the Champions League.
Play hypotheticals here, Jules. If Tuchel was still in charge, could he have got this performance from this side?
It's impossible to say, but you know, we can say that they went to Old Trafford in a game that they could not win during the group stage, where they were really in a really bad position. They went there and they showed a lot of character in a game that was very similar to the one that they won in Munich last week, for example. They won 3-1, but they could easily have lost a... Manchester United hit the bar, and that night it looked like Thomas Tuchel, you know, had it tactically and individually, and Neymar was brilliant and Kylian Mbappe was brilliant and all of that. So we've been there before with Tuchel. I don't know what would have happened against Barcelona with Tuchel. I still think that Pochettino had a masterclass in that first leg, the way he set up and the way they beat Barcelona with Marco Verratti in that sort of central number 10 role. Against Bayern, I'm not sure how much this is down to Pochettino, the players, or a bit of everything, and maybe had Tuchel been on the bench, it would have been the same results. We see what Tuchel is doing and himself. He's in the semi-final with Chelsea anyway, so it might have been the same, it might not have been the same, but I do think that Pochettino is also benefited for some of the work that Tuchel did before he left in December, at the end of December. Not everything was bad under Thomas Tuchel this season. There were some bad things, there were some really positive things, and I think Pochettino arrived and tweaked things around and brought his own energy and his own qualities, but certainly he also benefited for quite a lot of work that Thomas Tuchel did, including qualifying them for the last 16.
Jürgen, how will this result be received in Munich? Because as we've all mentioned, obviously key players missing, in particular Lewandowski. Does that give them a pass?
Well, obviously the people know that Lewandowski was missing, Goretzka was missing, Gnabry was missing. But still, you know, after a couple of days, they're looking at the result and it says, well, we lost in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, and that's for Bayern Munich. Is a disappointment, there's no doubt about it. It's a season where things are kind of heavily discussed with individuals, but also about the future of Hansi Flick as the manager. This will only heat it more up because obviously they are in the league, they're 5 points ahead of Leipzig. They expected to finish things off the next couple of weeks, winning the next title domestically. But losing in the quarterfinals for Bayern, it's just, for them, it's disappointing. Even if they say, well, maybe we were the better team over both legs, you know, both games, but it doesn't really matter. So there's always a kind of fire under the roof.
I think it's a blow for Bayern. And I don't mean just the result. The result's clearly a blow. But, I mean, the speculation around Hansi Flick, he's a guy that came in off the back of the disappointment of Kovac around the November time, completely turned the season around. You know, won the Champions League. Everybody's happy. You know, round pegs and round holes. Experienced players loving it again. Thomas Müller reignited. All these things, right? And now we have ahead of the biggest game of the season for them because they are expected to win the Bundesliga. Here we have all this talk about the German national team job and Hansi Flick not being happy. Almost a sort of arrogance from the upper echelons of Bayern Munich about, you know, how they handle some things that you were talking to me before we came on air about the announcement about Jerome Boateng leaving and the timing of that. And whilst that's not a blame culture for the result or the performance, it never helps. And I think subconsciously, if you have murmurings about a manager who you're particularly enjoying playing under, you know, hot-footing it off to take another job because he allegedly is not happy, it certainly doesn't help the scenario that you are in. And I think Bayern's handling of certain situations, not just recently, but over the past few years, albeit they've been successful, smacks to me as if they can just sometimes feel from a boardroom level that they can just make announcements willy-nilly whenever they like and don't think it will upset the rhythm or the routine.
Jürgen, Craig brought it up earlier and I wanted to come back to it. Leroy Sané was so frustrating to watch today because he gets himself into great positions and his decision-making almost 100% was the wrong one throughout the 90 minutes. What do you make of him as a player overall?
Well, as a player, Leroy Sané, I think, is an amazing, amazing talent. But what is here and there missing is, as Craig said rightfully so, is the final piece, you know, to kill things off, to have a clear vision and a very clear decision-making then to finish a situation off himself or make the decisive pass. But we should not forget he's very, very young. And as Gnabry, kind of his teammate as well, who unfortunately was missing, they are just growing. They're growing and they will get stronger and they will get more experienced. For players like Gnabry or Sané, Thomas Müller and especially Robert Lewandowski are very, very important because these two guide them through these sequences, through these moments. When they make wrong decisions, when they kind of do maybe tactically something wrong, when they're not reintegrate them, you know, defensively with the whole team and do that work. So that it's down to the leadership then from the experienced players to help them out. But Leroy Sané and Gnabry as well, they have a very bright future ahead of them. But lacking still consistency, which I think at that age is actually normal.
We could talk about this.
Hold on, well. Am I...
What's wrong?
Jürgen's gone soft.
No, I'm not going soft. I look at the... Greg, I look at the age, you know.
He's 25.
If we talk about Neymar... Yeah, we talk about Neymar now and his kind of a path over the last 5-6 years. You know, we always talked about Neymar. That's the next superstar he's going to pass... You're going to pass Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. And he's still, you know, just maturing. He's still not, you know, kind of consistent enough in many ways on the field with his emotional reactions, with his decision making. And then you take a Sané kid, you take a Gnabry kid that are just really starting their career. We talk about Haaland every week. We talk about Haaland. You know, the pro and cons about Haaland is value in the world of football, especially now discussed maybe with a big transfer, whatever. But we often forget about these players that they're very young still. Even Mbappe, I think, is 22. Holy moly, he won a World Cup. He went through up and downs personally. Maybe now he's mature enough already, early stage, to win the Champions League this summer. But what I look at as a manager, from a coaching perspective, I look at their body language. I look at their reaction when things go wrong. So what are they doing when they have a bad day? When Leroy Sané has a bad day in the final third, but what did he do defensively for the team? How he can create something? How many times did he go one-on-one? How many times did he get to the end line to create something? Today, he could have gone 10 times to the end line, cross it in. There was nobody there because Lewandowski was missing. So obviously, you know, you can criticize the players that used to be criticized. It's part of their job. Often, I think, when we discuss these youngsters, like a Pulisic as well, or Giovanni Reina, we always have to think about a second that they are still very young.
Oh, I must be young then. Listen, I agree. I agree with the first part of what Jürgen was saying, that for the frustration. He has a talent. Mm. There's no doubt. No doubt he has it. He has it in his locker, right? But he's 25, right? 25. We've seen 17, 18, 19-year-olds. We've seen Mbappe win a World... What was Mbappe when he won the World Cup? 19, 20, something like
young.
That? Yeah. Anyway, Leroy Sané is 25. At 25, we were checking our pensions to see if we had enough in it for retirement.
Right. Like,
he's been around the block. He had the disappointment of Yogi Love leaving him out of the 2018 World Cup. He got the big move that he desired, away from Man City in the end, to Bayern Munich, and they chased him, and they chased him hard. And I'm not saying he plays badly every week. He doesn't. But whenever I see him in these big games, a lot of times when I see him in these big games, I'm sitting watching him thinking, he's going to go past this defender with his pace, he's going to drop the shoulder, and then he's going to shank it over the bar, or he's going to scuff it in the box more often than not. And I think all the good players we've all played with and against, that's the big difference, is what they deliver into that final third, be it with a shot on goal or a cross or a pass. And that just makes the elite level player stand out. That's the part of the game that he's missing big time at the moment.
Good stuff, guys. We could keep going on and on, couldn't we, about this game. So much to talk about. Just a reminder, plenty of video content over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to subscribe to ESPN FC.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Chelsea are through to the semi-finals of the Champions League. That despite losing by 1-0 against Porto. What a goal it was, by the way, in injury time for the Portuguese side. Shaka Hislop has the face of someone who's just woken up who joins us. Shaka, was it that entertaining?
It wasn't. I should have had a sleep, to your point, Dan. Listen, I thought Chelsea did what they had to do, given the lead from the first leg. They just didn't have to be reckless and chase things. Tuchel kept his Chelsea team tight and did what was after them. I was particularly disappointed with Porto. Conceição seemed to just want to play for a 0-0 and then throw all caution to the wind in the closing minutes. And you got a hint of that on the 75th minute when he made the triple substitution. But even then, Porto, who played with the handbrake up, didn't offer a whole lot more. Incredible goal late on to make the closing moments close. But in all truth, Porto deserved to go out over the balance of 120 minutes and including the balance of this 90. When you need goals, you don't bother to try to play until until the 75th minute.
Seems like
Didn't you study engineering, Shaq?
Why? Yeah?
What's 90 plus 90?
180.
Yes. Yeah, not 120. See? That's sleepy,
I said
Shaq.
120. I'm sorry.
That's right. Okay. I understand. You fall asleep watching a game. You wake up. You've got to do television. It's tough, Shaq. Yeah.
Two 90s and 120. Don Hutchinson. Don Hutchinson sort of numbers there. The interesting thing, Shaq, is that... Oh. The game was on, and we had the two games on, but we were only really watching the. We were paying more attention to the PSG Bayern game, but the interesting thing, Shaq, is they went again with the same. Tuchel went with the same front line that he did against the hapless Crystal Palace, and they were. But it was Havertz through the middle. It was Mount, and it was Pulisic again. How did they link up?
They did all right. I thought Pulisic played really well. Whenever he got on the ball, he ran at the Porto defence. They hacked him down more times than not. But in all honesty, it wasn't... Well, I mean, it's ridiculous to draw a comparison between Porto and what we saw of Crystal Palace on the weekend, in all honesty. But, it was a team that was defending a 2-0 lead, and it looked that way. They're not going to throw caution to the wind, not going to take chances. And that's exactly how it played out. There were moments, but nothing really to wake you up.
I tell you what.
I can't believe you asked him a serious question.
Well, I was wondering how they'll... Because if they are to play Real Madrid in the semi-finals, and that's still an if... But they are the favourites at the moment against Liverpool. Then we were talking about it at the weekend. Werner's form has been poor.
Mm-hmm.
Pulisic's come in. Mount's been their best player. Havertz has struggled, but we know he's played well for Leverkusen there, and maybe that's going to be a home for him. Whereas Stevie said it the other day, he knits things together. And yeah, I mean, obviously today's game was about shutting up shop. But if I'm playing Real Madrid in a semi-final, is that the front three? I think that's the interesting thing. It's still one of the real... conundrums that Thomas Tuchel has. He pretty much knows who his back three is going to be. I saw Thiago Silva play tonight, but he pretty much knows his back three. It looks like it's now Chilwell and Reece James, you would think, particularly against an attacking team like Real Madrid. But that front line, that front line is still, I think, a big question mark. Don't ask me about Porto. If Porto didn't want to come...
No one's asking you about anything.
If Porto didn't want to come and win the game, that's their own business. And if he can't add up 90 or 90, there's nothing I can do about that.
Oh, good. Right, just a reminder, if you ever miss a show, you can download our daily podcast, which is available over on the website. Plenty of bonus material there, including, as always, Extra Time.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
So we now know two of the sides that have made it through to the semi-finals of this Champions League. PSG awaiting the winners of Borussia Dortmund against Manchester City. Meanwhile, Chelsea will be keeping a keen eye on the game at Anfield on Wednesday between Liverpool and Real Madrid. Let's start with that game, shall we, Craig? Because obviously Real Madrid, big favourites going into it. We've seen Liverpool turn around scorelines, much bigger in fact, in the past in European nights. Yeah. It's in front of an empty Anfield stadium, yeah. Obviously.
And it's an empty team. Pretty much. I mean, it's not the Liverpool that have produced some magnificent performances. It's just not. It's a Liverpool team up until the weekend against Villa that couldn't win at home recently.
Mm.
It's a Liverpool team that... I mean, let's be frank about this. Real Madrid, Karim Benzema and others will be licking their chops looking at that back line again. You know, they targeted Alexander-Arnold in the first leg, so he knows he's getting it again. And... Phillips and Kabak had a tough night too, so Yeah, I mean, they've got a chance, Liverpool. I mean, if it was the Liverpool that were flying at the top of the league and everyone was fit, they were 3-1 down against Real Madrid, I'd say, listen, it's going to be one of the greatest games again here.
Yes.
I might be wrong, I just don't see it. I see Real Madrid as an extremely professional outfit at the moment. Not the best version of Real Madrid, but one that's still solid, that can give up plenty of game as they did at the weekend to Barcelona and still win. One that if they want to allow Liverpool possession, they can do it and still win. And I just don't see Liverpool keeping a clean sheet. I just don't see them keeping it down even to one. I can see Real Madrid getting a couple of goals. And Liverpool are not putting teams away by 4 or 5 at the moment.
Shaka, I suppose if we're trying to paint an optimistic picture for Liverpool, you could say, well, Real Madrid have just been on this relentless schedule at the moment. Obviously, the big game last week against Liverpool and then this weekend against Barcelona in the rain, the intensity that went on with that victory. So there's got to be an element of fatigue going into this tie for Real Madrid that Liverpool will be hoping to jeopardise on.
Yeah, if you're sitting in that Liverpool dressing room, you're absolutely right, Dan. You're looking for something, for some glimmer of hope, because you were just so desperately outmatched in the first leg with Real Madrid. And maybe it's in the form of that game against Barcelona, all that was at stake and the conditions playing their part. You now have Sergio Ramos confirmed as being out with COVID-19 as well. Yeah, and you just wonder. You're looking for some glimmer of hope. But in all honesty, I kind of feel like that's been Liverpool's season. You're looking for a glimmer of hope, and then as soon as you find it, you just go and shoot yourself in the foot. What was it, a week ago, 10 days ago, you were talking about Liverpool being 2 points off top four and a defining couple of weeks coming up for them. Then you had the first leg against Real Madrid. Then the game against Aston Villa, and albeit you won in the 90th minute, I thought, and I said this to you on the weekend, Sadio Mane coming off the bench in the 75th minute, his body language was all wrong and just pointed to me that there's something a lot more going on with this Liverpool team that maybe we're not aware of. And so when you put those things together, despite as good a time as it may be to play Real Madrid, I think once again, Liverpool are their own worst enemies this season.
Jurgen, Real Madrid have surprised a lot of people. Well, that midfield has surprised a lot of people. And they thought, Casemiro, Cruz, Modric, they're past it. That's it. They're done. You know, Real Madrid are relying on these old veterans. They have turned it on spectacularly over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and it's all about timing. And I think these guys just know it, that, you know, comes April, May around in the crunch time, basically, especially in the Champions League and obviously in the league as well. That's when they show up. That's when they make the difference. And that's why, you know, experience is so important. And they know exactly what to expect going now into Liverpool. They have respect for Liverpool, no doubt about it. But they go there to get their result and go into the semifinal. So when they kind of were criticized over the last couple of months, you know, they recognize that. They see it. They read the papers as well. But they also know when it's time to show up, and they showed up now in the right moment.
Meanwhile...
I was just going to say, there's two ways to approach this. If you're Liverpool, you sit off and be a little bit cautious because you want to protect your back line and you're worried about them being exposed. But I think if you do that, those players that you mentioned will pick you off eventually, particularly with their quality of passing, when the movement of Vinicius and Karim Benzema, Kroos and Modric will find you. I think Liverpool's chance is to do what they did to Barcelona, albeit with no fans and not the same amount of energy and not the same amount of quality, is Barcelona's heads were spinning by how they smothered them from the start, how they pressed them. And that's the only way I think you're going to have to just back your defence and say, listen, this is what we're going to do, so you have to be on your toes. We're going to try and smother them, we're going to try and press them, we're going to try and make sure we get in the faces of Kroos and Modric and Casemiro, and we push our wide players on and we don't allow them to have easy possession of the ball, and then we take our chances from there. And I think if they do that, they win the ball back in the final third, they give themselves a chance. The other side of the coin with that, if they play around you and it's a half-hearted press, you're going to get exposed. But I think if Liverpool are cautious and worried about their back line, which is their weak point this year, then I think this Real Madrid side will eventually pick you off anyway. So I really think Liverpool have only got one way to try and approach this. If they want, I mean, if they were trying to see it out for a 0-0, that's different. But they're not. They're chasing the tail here.
Jules?
is back.
Jules, yes. Jules, what do you think looking ahead to this Liverpool-Real Madrid game? I'm trying to say Real Madrid are tired. There might be some vulnerability there. Am I clutching at straws?
I think you're right, and I saw Jurgen Klopp today asking the question about what Zidane said after the Clásico, saying that they were physically on the edge. His players, we know all the injuries, we know Lucas Vazquez. So when you think of a back four of Eder Militao, Nacho, Falamendi, and then Odrio Azola right back, you think, okay, surely that front three of Liverpool, of even maybe the front four, if Jota and Firmino both start, could cause a lot of problems to them. So I think this one is really in the balance. Of course, Real Madrid have the advantage because of what happened in the first leg, but I think Liverpool can go at them if you put a lot of pressure on Toni Kroos and don't give him his whole life to pick a pass like he did in the first leg, then I think you could cause them problems. And certainly, even if there's no fans, the belief that Liverpool players have, they've done it before and they can certainly do it again.
Let's focus on the other game. Many thought, oh, second leg, it'll be done and dusted. Dead rubber, Manchester City against Borussia Dortmund. Not the case, though. City do have that 2-1 lead going into the tie, Jürgen. It's going to be, there's something very appealing about this match, isn't there?
Yeah, I think both matches are actually very similar because, you know, I mean, Liverpool still has a chance, still in there, and I totally agree with Craig. You know, you've got to be, come out there, you know, 200 miles an hour and go at them. You know, don't give them any space, don't give them any moment to breathe and be highly aggressive and find your own rhythm and find your own chances. And the same way with Dortmund. Dortmund has nothing to lose going into the second leg. The big favorites is Manchester City. Obviously, it's a very, very good team. But it's also a team that has problems when you put them under pressure. You don't give them space. You don't let them, you know, pass around you all over the place. And you find ways also to break them down. I think they're vulnerable with set pieces, especially corners from the side, crosses from the side. You know, with Haaland, this is now a really great opportunity to show, you know, to show up, you know, and show the world that rightfully everybody's talking about him. So I think that it will be two very interesting games, and both Dortmund and Liverpool have a chance still to go through, but it will be a lot of work, and they need to be confident, they need to be very aggressive and show energy from the first second on.
You know, it's only Manchester City here that can have any egg on their face.
Well, that's like you can say, yeah, Borussia Dortmund going there with nothing to lose.
Yeah, yeah, they've got a change of manager coming up. And I mean, they're struggling to get in the top four.
Yep.
They won at the weekend, but they're struggling. But they've got the freedom. Manchester City here have the big custard pie, the big egg in the face. There's a lot of hacks out there, a lot of journalists waiting with the pen or the keyboard ready already for the headline about Guardiola. Not because they dislike him, but because that has been a story.
Yes.
A continuous story since he left Barcelona. And it hasn't gone away. Last year's exit to Lyon hasn't helped either. The exit, the way they went out to Liverpool, particularly in that first leg defeat at Anfield the year they went out, they were atrocious. And so there's a lot of people, I think, sitting there going, right, this is a potential banana skin. It really is. We know he arrested a lot of players at the weekend and the defeat to Fulham, but it was slack.
Leeds,
I beg your pardon. Leeds, 10 men Leeds. But it was slack. And the one thing that I see with City, and all these big hitters will come back, right? And Diaz and De Bruyne, all these guys. City's downfall, or the only thing I can see to be their downfall, is complacency in the final third. We know they've been really good defensively this year. It's unlikely they'll make stupid mistakes. Unlikely. Although we saw John Stones make one for England. But I think the frustration for Guardiola gets the complacency in the final third. And by that, I mean that some of their efforts at goal are half-hearted in the sense that they think they'll create one another 2 minutes. And then they'll create another. And then they'll create another. And I see Raheem Sterling sometimes recently trying to walk it in. And
right,
it's almost as if, we'll get one. You know, we'll score eventually. And without Aguero as a full-time striker this season, really, they've lacked a... They've been successful up to now, but they've lacked that real predator instinct. That's the, because I think they'll dominate this game. But clearly, Dortmund, with some young players and with Haaland and with Royce, who, again, he scored at the weekend, with Bellingham, who was excellent in the first game. The only way I see City going out is a little bit of complacency in the domination of the game. If they are complacent, I think Guardiola could be reading the same headlines. I do not think it's a foregone conclusion, not at all.
Jules, who do you want to win this game?
It's interesting because obviously if it's Dortmund, it's the revenge from last season, the last 16, the two games, the one in Dortmund with fans, the one in Paris without fans, the sort of trolling on the goal celebration and all of that, and a bit of really ill feelings or bad feelings, whatever you say in English. If it's City, it's a very different story, very different approach for PSG. I think with Dortmund, it would be quite an open game, both teams going at each other. With City, I think PSG would have to defend far more than they would do against Dortmund. So for them, I'm not sure who they would rather. I guess you take Dortmund ahead of City, but I'm not sure that's a given in the way this PSG team is playing under Pochettino. So it's quite fascinating. I agree with what Jürgen and Craig said on the second leg. I also, the only thing quickly I would like to point out is, can this City team really manage a lead like that they have after the first leg? How do you play? Do you still play your high line like you did before? But we saw in the first leg on the big Erling Haaland chance in the second half that if you play too high, he can easily punish you. So what do you do? Do you go for it and you go like almost if it's nil-nil and you try to score and you take risk, or you don't take risk, but do you know how to do this? Because that's not really what City do. And also the last seasons when they were knocked out by Liverpool, by Spurs, they were chasing after the first leg. I'm not really sure if they know exactly how to manage the whole game like this against 90 minutes, against a team that are going to run a lot, fight hard and have a lot of talent up front.
Did you ask Jules who he'd rather have?
Yes.
As a PSG fan?
Yes, of course. And then he brings up...
I'm going to tell you straight out, Dortmund.
Of course. There's
a reason that they're fifth in the Bundesliga, and one of them is that defensively, after a good defensive start to the season, it has to be said, and it looked as if they'd solved a few of the problems and were keeping clean sheets, it just disappeared, it dissolved. And PSG, I think, would... particularly in that final third with Mbappe running about, would take them to the cleaners. City's a different kettle of fish. You just, if you got City on a prime night...
Joel, he's just double bluffing. He's just pretending that he doesn't mind who he gets. Yeah, completely. Shaka, overall, who's going to win the Champions League, Shaq?
Well, right now, I'm thinking City, especially with Bayern Munich's exit. And the thing for me with City, and this is a difficult tie to get through, and I think you saw some of City's issues in the first leg. At times, their football, absolutely brilliant. But then at other times, they look a little bit nervy, and I'm starting to wonder if, as far as this competition goes, they're starting to get in their own heads, because it really is a kind of Jekyll and Hyde performance from them. If they get this job done, I think you're delighted with PSG going through and that matchup as opposed to Bayern Munich, and then it's a one-off against whoever finishes. Right now, I think City are potentially the best team. They, though, are the only ones who can stop them, in my opinion.
Do you agree, Jürgen?
Well, definitely they're favourites, but I think now it's the interesting side of it going into the semifinals, and we still have two quarterfinals tomorrow, is... looking at the personalities, looking at the leaders of every team. And we saw, no doubt, we saw two big leaders with Mbappé and Neymar today. And it's going to be interesting who steps it up now for Real Madrid or for Liverpool, or even for Dortmund, you know, being kind of a little bit the outsider against Man City. So I think now it's the real time for observing very closely the huge personalities in those teams and who's going to lead who into the final and potentially wins then the Champions League. So I think anything is still possible.
Do you know, a few weeks ago, I know the bookies are saying City, but I would have hedged my bets on City. But having watched these two games from PSG, having watched them without the fullbacks, having watched them without Marquinhos, without Verratti and others, the way they handled the game and the threat they had going forward still, and with the tension around, I know PSG haven't won it either, but the tension around City and their manager with Pochettino, it's slightly more of a free hit. He'll just say, I'm just in the door. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't had any transfer window and sorting things out. But just looking at them with that threat from Neymar, who I thought was excellent tonight, and Mbappe and Di Maria and others and those players to come back, Florenzi, I would say PSG.
Really?
Yes. I just think on a big night, one-off game, if they can defend the way that they did and have with that threat going forward, and City without an out-and-out striker, I would lean towards PSG at the moment.
Wow, there's a kiss of death for you, Jules.
Craig knows. That's what I'm going to say. Craig knows. Oh. You know, yeah. Craig knows. We all know that Craig knows.
That's it. Thank you very much, guys. We'll, of course, be looking back at those two remaining quarterfinals on the next edition of the show. Should be two good games, shouldn't it, for us to look back on. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Actually, in the Championship on Tuesday, saw wins for both Bournemouth and Swansea. Despite that, though, you've heavily fancy still Norwich and Watford to qualify automatically. However, for both of those sides, they're looking good, aren't they? Those four teams in those playoff spots, you imagine, will be the four that will make it through into the postseason.
See, Norwich, stick with your manager.
Yeah.
Daniel Fark, come
yeah,
back.
Yeah, done
up.
A good job, haven't they?
Sheffield United, what do they do?
Yeah.
Biff them off at the first opportunity, Chris Wilder.
Yeah, it could be trouble for them going forward.
Well, they'll probably come back up, though.
Yes, probably.
I don't wish anything against them.
But there you go. Back tomorrow. Goodbye. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Craig with me in the studio. We also welcome Shaka Hislop and Julianne Laurent. So many different tweets for Jules after PSG just about got through to the Champions League semi-final once again. A lot of them, this sort of theme, Jules. Are you going to Neymar's post-match party tonight to sport your new haircut? Oh, wow.
I would have to quarantine. I can't go because I would have to quarantine coming back from Neymar's party. So I would be probably on Zoom. I would be Zooming to join them or something like this. But I can do my own party, you know, tonight.
What a treat. Oh, what a lovely dancing.
That's a telltale sign, isn't it?
What's that?
The haircut.
Of a haircut? What, that dancing?
No, the telltale sign, that, isn't it?
There's a party going on.
No, no, there's a procedure on the way.
Oh, I don't think...
A procedure.
I don't think Jules is getting hair plugs.
No, not yet.
You think it's in his future?
What do you mean, where?
What do you mean, where?
You should behave.
Look at that comb over.
What do you mean? I went to the barbers yesterday. The barbers reopened yesterday. For 4 months, I hadn't had a haircut.
No. What did you ask for?
You're jealous because you're losing your hair. That's why you're jealous, because you're losing yours.
No, but mine's just coming back.
Yours is coming back.
It's growing back. It's.
You have the halo.
Mine's just growing back. It's fighting back.
Yeah, right. Exactly. How underrated is Real Madrid's three in a row, Jules? We've seen the best of teams fail to win it twice, let alone three times.
I think it's completely underrated. And I think what gets me the most, and of course Cristiano was amazing in those three seasons, there was no doubt this was very much his team, but that even of today, that the fact that still people are questioning Zinedine Zidane and, oh, has he been lucky, or how good really is he? And one, you don't win three Champions League in a row, even with Cristiano Ronaldo, if you're not good as a manager. And what he's doing now, especially this season in the current context, shows you how good Zinedine Zidane is right now, but also was in those three seasons in a row where no one in Europe could beat them. And of course, they were more of a cup team back then, which they probably are even tonight, even this season, to be fair. But let's not forget that in those three Champions League, there was also one Liga. They also won La Liga, which be consistent over 38 games, which Pep Guardiola, for example, always says, oh, this is the far more difficult to win than the Champions League. And in a way, winning the Champions League and the La Liga the same season shows you how good Zidane is and how good this Real Madrid team was.
How backwards do they have to be in the UK? They can't even go for a haircut during this pandemic.
Well, I don't think we need to go into the politics of quarantine, do we?
Well, we've been... How long's the barbers been open here in Connecticut?
Yes, but it's
months. Do you know why? But it's not difficult. You go by appointment. It's only you.
Right.
Nobody else.
Okay, well, that's
just
quite...
Just why make people have made these...
No, right.
I mean, my hair, I couldn't have lasted 6 months. Okay. My hair would have been flowing.
Oh, my God, imagine. Right. Let's move
it's
on swiftly.
It's growing back, yeah.
It's growing back.
Move on swiftly.
Going back.
Shaka, what happens? What does your hair do, Shaka, if you grow it out?
It just grows big and puffy.
Like, does it go afro?
I don't know. Kind of like that, yeah.
I hope it grows better than your beard. I hope it grows better than your beard.
I don't even long to find out.
I hope it grows better than your beard.
Oh, dear.
That was a disaster. Oh,
nothing wrong with my beard.
Your beard wasn't a beard. It was an impersonation of a beard. It was a disaster.
Shaka, after Navas's antics at the end of the match, what were your go-to time-wasting methods in your playing days?
Oh, you know what I could do really well? Look like I was running fast, but I was really moving really slowly. So whenever the ball went out, I would go into this full-off sprint. That was the slowest sprint in history. That was my go-to antics.
Is it just because maybe your sprints are slow in real life, Shaq?
No. My real sprints are really fast.
Yeah, really, really fast.
What did really you do? Fast.
I've seen you sprint. Did my 7-year-old beat you in a race, Shaq?
No.
Yeah, he definitely did. He was telling everyone about it.
He cheat.
Yeah, well, he probably did cheat, to be fair. This is a good question because we watched this, didn't we? Has Shaka ever fouled his own player in the box and got a free kick?
Oh, yeah.
That was Navas today. That was crazy.
That was. That was ridiculous. Not that I recall. No, I remember clashing with Ian Pearce a million times during our West Ham time together, but never got a fall for it.
He's a big lad, Pearce, wasn't he?
Oh,
you know, he is.
That's further proof, if we ever needed it, that he did not watch Chelsea Porto.
Yes, I know. We let that slip.
You let that slip. Oh, yeah. I was supposed to be watching the Chelsea Porto game. I had an eye on the Bayern game. So, yeah, Thomas Müller wasn't very happy about that, was he? But the referee got it wrong.
What's with Navas's hair, Jules? May as well continue the hair theme. Is there a reason he has it like that?
Like what?
Well, he bleaches it. Like
no,
you
do. I think, yeah, he likes it.
Yeah.
I think he likes it a lot. I mean, we've had Paredes with dodgy hair colour as well. Yeah. Navas now, Neymar, of course, a few of them. Kylian Mbappe, remember when he went all blue?
He went
like
blue,
the Smurfs, yeah. So, yeah, I'm not sure what's going on this season, but hey.
Hey, you're winning. Craig, how can a player with as much skill as Neymar have such an awful time finishing in big games? If he was Craig Burley in the World Cup for Scotland, he would have finished at least one of those chances. Is this from you? From Don's University of Mathematics and Percentages.
It was the... I think the one that hit the post in the first half was the most relevant one, wasn't it?
The second time he hit the post. The first one obviously was a special one.
It's semantic, but there's a crossbar and there's a post.
Yes, that's very true.
So the first one he hit... The first one that is relevant is the one that hit the post.
Okay.
Because the other one hit the crossbar.
Right, okay.
Unless you're trying...
No, that's...
Because I don't call that a real chance. Right. From outside the box. It was a great bit of skill.
Yes.
Making the turn. Whipped it in. Neuer beating off the crossbar. But the one where Mbappe put him in with the square pass, he took a touch and then he hit the post. Those are the ones that he has to be finishing. He was a little bit unlucky in the second half after a brilliant bit of skill by Di Maria that he just couldn't get in the end of it. But yeah, it is... I think for a player of his... clear natural ability to be one of the best players in the world in those positions,
yeah, he needs to, in the big games, needs to be finishing them.
Craig, if PSG end up winning the Champions League with Pochettino, how bad does Daniel Levy look considering how Mourinho has done with Spurs?
I think things were going south at Spurs at the end for whatever reason. The Pochettino thing, he'd been there quite a while. I don't necessarily think it's him leaving to, you know, because I think he wanted a fresh challenge. I think it's got more to do with who's come in. I've always thought he's a very, very good manager. But he was at a club in Tottenham that you have to really overachieve if you're going to win anything. Mm. Getting them to a Champions League final. You know, they're not a club who historically have been winning trophies all the time. So, I thought he overachieved for long periods. But, no, PSG, whilst others have sat in their hands, PSG made a decision around Christmas time, Tuchel out, Pochettino in, and whether he wins it this year or not, I think it's a good appointment.
Team that made a similar decision, of course, Chelsea. As Shaka, is Chelsea advancing to the semis the biggest surprise in this Champions League season, given where they were months ago under Lampard?
It's a surprise. Is Porto beating Juventus a bigger surprise than Chelsea beating Porto?
Yes, I think it is, Shaka.
Given where they were, was that?
Yes.
Oh, I'll just say, listen, given where they were, I didn't think Chelsea would get this far in this competition. I didn't think Chelsea would be in the top four either. So credit to Tuchel and the job that he's done. But to the question whether it's the biggest surprise in the Champions League season so far, I don't know I'll go that far.
I don't think so, because the pathway... I'm trying to remember the knockout round of 16.
Who did Chelsea play in the round of 16?
Help me. Was it Sevilla?
Atletico Madrid.
Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, actually, you're involved. No wonder it's something.
Well, actually, I didn't think it was somebody as strong as Atleti, but they were poor.
Yeah, they were terrible.
So that was, I would say that was a surprise because they were terrible. Not the Porto result, though.
No, I'd say maybe Inter finishing bottom of the group. Big surprise, I would say. Jules, when you considering what they did in Serie A this season?
100%. Really big surprise. And the way it happened, because they could still have qualified in the last game. And once again, like they did before, they struggled on the last hurdle. So, yeah, I would say that's a big surprise. More than Chelsea doing well now with Thomas Tuchel.
That's it. We're done. Thank you very much. Extra time, of course, back tomorrow with the show, as we'll be reflecting on those two big games in the Champions League.
People combing their hair over. In England, not in America.
Right, good, yes. Don't go back to that.
People get what? Funny about it?
Yes. ESPN FC, back on your screens tomorrow. Craig's not in the studio. What a shame.